the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. This is one of the epistles that St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He had been going to Corinth for some time, probably about 2 years, when he received word from the people in Corinth that there was a lot of division among the Corinthians. Many of them who had accepted Jesus Christ and accepted the teachings of Christ and St. Paul as their teacher and as their spiritual father began to rebel against him and began teaching, spreading calumnies against him, teaching all manner of lies about him, about what he is, about he was a magician and all this other kind of stuff. And so St. Paul had to write this letter, not so much to brag about what he is, but to show them what he had endured for their sake. That's really important for us to see it from St. Paul's point of view. He was telling them all the things he had done while since he had began working for our Lord Jesus Christ after our Lord straightened him out on the road to Damascus. If you remember how that worked, he was going to Damascus by order of the Sanhedrin to arrest Jews who proclaimed Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead. They were going to bring him back for trial and execution as being blasphemers. Because according to Jewish law, anybody who blasphemed Almighty God deserved to die. So it's really important for us to see it the way God wants us to see it. Very, very simply is this. St. Paul was chosen by Almighty God and handpicked by him. He made him blind. He blinded him so that he could see the truth without being distracted by the things of the world. He was blind for 3 days. And after his sight came back, he went and was baptized a Catholic and a Christian. And he began teaching Almighty God. He did it for the rest of his life until they killed him in Rome. Many, many, many years later, on the same day St. Peter was also killed. So it's really important for us to see it the way St. Paul tells it to us. He went through a great deal of things, and any one of those instances could have killed him. Any one of them could have taken his life, but he realized that he was working for God Almighty, and God was doing these things to strengthen him in adversity, strengthen him to recognize the importance of being a servant of God, that you are going to incur people in this world who are going to attack you. They're going to attack you because, for no other reason than you are God's servant. You are following our Lord's footsteps, and they were going to attack you because of that fact. St. Paul is a perfect example. He was a true son of the Jewish religion. He had gone to the Sanhedrin school. He learned to speak three languages when he was there. He spoke Latin, he spoke Greek, and he also spoke Hebrew. So in reality, he was being prepared for position in the Jewish government of Jerusalem. But it did not turn out that way because God had other plans for St. Paul, whose name was Saul at the time. And if you recognize the story of it and realize the fact that divine providence has the same plan for all of us, not that we're going to become Pharisees or we're going to work for the Sanhedrin, but that he has a plan for us as far as our salvation is concerned, and we must follow the footsteps of those who came before us. There are many individuals in the world who started out being very, very bad people. They were living their life according to their own standards. They were doing what they wanted to do rather than what God wanted to do. And then something turned them around. And by the grace of God turning them around, their eyes were opened to divinely revealed truth. They accepted it into their heart and their soul. And they believed it and they were converted. One of the best examples is St. Augustine of Hippo, who was for many, many years of his life, he was not even a Catholic. He was a heretic. He belonged to the sect called the Manichaeans. And these people were all very, very proud, very, very arrogant about the idea of their knowledge. You know, the individuals who have actual knowledge are individuals who are believers of God. All this other stuff. He would never read the Bible because something was beneath him to read it because it was written in such colloquial language, such plain language. So all these things changed when, by divine providence, he was sent from Carthage in Africa to Rome and from Rome to Milan. And in Milan, he would go and listen to St. Ambrose speak. Because he was a great orator. He didn't want to hear what he had to say as far as his belief was concerned. He wanted to hear him speak because he was a great orator and a great teacher. And as time went on, he began to be a more appreciative of what Ambrose was telling him. And as it turns out, St. Ambrose is the one who actually converted St. Augustine and became baptized and made him Catholic, and later on became a bishop, was sent back to Africa, and fought for a long time, especially against the Arian heresy, among other heresies that he wrote about. But for all the things that he did, because he learned the faith so very, very well, so he was so very, very ashamed of his past, that he wrote it in his book called Confessions. He goes into very, very great detail about things that he did wrong, and he even tells the world that he received messages from Almighty God, but he rejected that because he didn't believe it was coming from God, because his pride was so great. And now, after he died, when he was in his 70s, his biographer wrote about Augustine, saying that of all the virtues that he had, of his wit, of his intellect, of all the things that he wrote about against defending the church against heresies, he will be the best known for his humility, because he realized that everything that he had that was good came from God Almighty. Without God, he can't do no good at all. So we need to learn lessons from these people, St. Paul and St. Augustine, and many of the others who have gone before us, who have lived in the world very, very similar to ours as far as the people that are against us is concerned, because in their days, people were against them as well, to the point where they actually arrested them and killed them for being traitors, because they were not accepting the Roman gods as being gods, and so they were killed as being treasonous. And in the world that we live in today, people will come after you, and they will attack you verbally, they will attack your personality, they'll attack your character, they'll do anything to destroy people's listening to the belief that you have, because they don't want you to succeed, because they are motivated by the devil to drive people away from Almighty God, not to bring them to Him. So it's really important for us to listen to these things that we are being told, and recognize the importance of it. Today's gospel is well known. It's been read many, many, many times, and our Lord explains the parable very, 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 very simply. Many people in the world hear the word of God, but not very many people act on the word of God the way God wants them to. Oh, they'll believe for a little while, like it says in the seeds that fell on rocky soil, but as soon as they go through the temptation and everything else, it's gone, because they don't have enough substance to maintain it. Or individuals who have it trodden in the foot, where they hear it but they don't really believe it. And talk about the birds coming and eating the seeds. Well, the bird represents the devil in this regard, and they destroy the souls of those who refuse to accept the word of God as being what it is. So Almighty God tells us that the volume of grace that He gives us because of the word that He gives us, which is Himself, is enough for us to produce fruit a hundredfold. And this was just pointed out to me this morning, anyway, when I was reading the breviary. It was in the one of the homilies written by St. Gregory the Great, one of the Pope who wrote Gregorian Chant, among other things. He talks about the idea that all the things our Lord explained them. There's nothing need to add to further to that, except to say that if we want to listen to Almighty God and do what He wants us to do, we have to realize the source that the grace comes from. Realize the idea that salvation is based on how you cooperate with the grace that God puts at your disposal. If you don't use the grace that God gives you, then you're going to fail. Because it is given to us primarily for only one reason. And that reason is to conquer ourselves, our fallen human nature, and conquer sin and death also, the way our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did, by following His example, by living our life according to His laws and His rules and His holy will. These are the things that are important for us in this world. We are now in the season of what we call Septuagesima. Septuagesima means 70. It is 70 days before. And we have, this is Sexagesima this Sunday, Quinquagesima next Sunday, 60-50, and then Ash Wednesday is 10 days from now. And then we go to Quadragesima, which is the season of Lent. Okay, so all these things are given to us for only one reason. We wear the violet vestments from now on until, the one Sunday in Lent where we wear rose-colored vestments, but other than that, we wear the violet, because violet reminds us of our mortality. It reminds us of our obligation before Almighty God to atone to Almighty God for the sins we have committed in our life, so we can pay off our debt to divine justice. Remember, we talked about it a long time ago, and many, many times since then, the idea that when you go to confession, you are sorry for your sins and they are absolved, the scar or the stain of the sin remains. And that is what you owe to Almighty God as a debt to the offense you paid to divine justice by committing the sin in the first place. You've been forgeven, the sin is washed from your soul, but the debt of the sin remains. So these are the things that we have to work on getting rid of while we are here. And there's no reason for anybody to go to hell at all. If you believe in Almighty God, you believe in Jesus Christ, and you live your life the way He wants you to, there's no reason for you to even question the idea of being saved, of saving your life, saving your soul for immortality. But it's important for us to understand it. We must do it the way God wants it done. We must not become proud of being humble. You know, like the gospel we read a long time ago about the two women in the temple of prey. One was a Pharisee and the other one was a publican. The Pharisee stood there telling God what a great guy he was. See, Lord, look at me. I fast twice a week. I give alms to the poor. 20% of all I possess. He's telling God what a great guy he is. Where's the humility in that? He was so proud about obeying the law of God that he was bragging about it to the point to where his humility was gone. We have people in the world today doing the exact same thing. They pray so devoutly, and they want to be seen praying like the Pharisees were. They're hypocrites. They want to be able to see how holy they are. But in reality, are they holy? Or are they bragging about how holy they are? Humility is humility. You see yourself the way God sees you. You realize the importance of it. The importance of being the way you are with a fallen human nature, and God loves you anyway, because he sees in you the potential of the good you can become if you live your life the way he wants you to. So for all of us, it is a time for us to recognize ourselves for what we are, truthfully to see ourselves and the way God sees us, and a time for us to start paying back to divine justice what we owe Almighty God because of the sins we've committed in our life. For some of us, it will be a lifelong adventure in paying back the debt, because we have no idea how things that we have done, we think are perfectly okay. You know, Almighty God, he might find fault with them because he's perfect. So it's really important for us to recognize the importance of salvation is absolutely necessary for us. And the only way we can achieve salvation is absolutely necessary for us to recognize we have to do it God's way. There is no other way around it. There are many individuals in the world who hear the word of God, like I was talking about in today's parable. They hear the word of God, but they don't understand what it means. They apply their own interpretation to it. And as a result, that's why there are over 2,000 plus Christian religions in the world today. Every one of them defines scripture differently, and every one of them is absolutely wrong. They are absolutely wrong about most of the things in scripture. One or two things they get right, most of the things they have that are wrong, because they are interpreting it the way they want it to be, not the way God wants it to be. That's why God has given the church, the true Catholic Church, the only ability to translate scripture the way God wants it translated, to translate parables the way God wants us to be understood. We have to go to Almighty God and make a plea for us to say, please, Lord, teach me. And he teaches us through his church, to a true church, for what scripture actually means, so we can learn from Almighty God and use the grace that he gives us, applying them to our daily lives, and make changes in our lives by the grace of God, and become more and more like our Lord, Savior, and example, Jesus Christ. By doing these things consistently, we make progress in our spiritual life, and the prayers and the sacraments that we receive give us the grace we need to continue. It's kind of like you get a fire going in a furnace or in a wood stove. You got to keep adding wood to it, adding fuel to it to make it burn. You don't add any more wood to it, it's going to die out and it's going to go dead. Same thing with our soul, our spiritual life. We have to keep adding work to it to make the grace burn hotter, to make the grace burn more hotter in our hearts and our souls, so we have more of the drive and of the desire to serve God as being the only one thing that we can do to achieve salvation and immortality, to serve God with all of our being the way he wants us to. So we keep these things in our mind, using the scripture and the grace that we learn from Almighty God to apply these things to our daily lives, and making changes in our attitude about things, recognizing that prayer and sacraments, all these things, they are tools. They are tools to bring grace of God to us. How we use the grace of God to make changes in ourselves is our personal free will choice. The grace is there for our using. If we use it incorrectly, if we don't use it the way we should, we're not going to receive the benefits from it the way we're supposed to. And as a result, we're going to change our focus on serving Almighty God the best we can, to doing things the way we want to do them. And when we do that, we've lost a great deal, because we're no longer serving God according to his standard. So pray to Almighty God for the graces that you need to understand. This season we're coming into is a very, very blessed and a very, very holy season. It's a time for us to recharge our batteries, so to speak, spiritually speaking. You know, we have been given the season of Lent every year to give us power over evil. You know, fasting and abstinence, giving up things, because we are telling God that we love him. We're telling God he sacrificed everything for us to the last drop of his blood. The least you can do is sacrifice something as a token to show Almighty God our appreciation and to become strengthened by it. So fast and abstinence applies for those who are able to fast and abstain. And by doing these things during the season of Advent, and doing them for the right reason, we receive tremendous grace from Almighty God to be able to fight off temptation and the near occasion of sin, because the devil is always behind you, trying to drive you away from Almighty God, trying to drive you away from prayer, away from all these different things where you are going to become more beneficent by the grace that God gives you. But instead of doing it that way, he's going to want to drive you away from it to resent the idea of fast and abstinence. It's so hard. Why do we have to do this anyway? Our salvation, Jesus Christ died for our sins. Yes, he did. He died to pay the debt of sin to divine justice, for all sin. Divine justice, the debt was paid, which is the only reason why heaven was open. But for individual people like you and myself, we have to prove to Almighty God that we are worthy of achieving immortality by doing it the way he wants it done, and that's what our test is all about. By doing it God's will, the way God wants it done, and we learn from that by listening and by praying and by asking him to teach us and to show us how he wants us to live. We do these things consistently, we progress in our spiritual life, and then we begin to make changes in ourselves by the grace of God, and become more and more like the way the people that he wants us to be, and then we can realize the world the way it is, and that you really want no part of it as far as actively participating in it, because it is nothing but evil. It is contrary to the teachings of Almighty God. And as we see these things more and more clearly, we realize that we are living here, we don't really belong here. Our home is in heaven with God, and that's why he made us in the first place. So keep these things in your mind. Pray to Almighty God. May you all have a blessed season from now on. Ash Wednesday, like I said, is 10 days from today, and this is when the Quadrant Jays Valley, the season actually begins. This is called pre-Lent. So this is time for us to get our minds ready for the idea of Lent and the idea of using the season, using the restrictions that are put upon us by Holy Mother Church for the greatest possible benefit. First, to praise, honor, and glorify Almighty God in his most holy name. Secondly, to help us to become strengthened against sin and temptation so we can live in that place called sanctifying grace and never leave it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A couple announcements to make. Michael Sanford is still alive. He has not left us yet. But when I saw him last Saturday, he had lost like 15 pounds. I saw the month before. He's a skeleton, basically. And he's not really much longer with us. So please keep praying for him, because the last hours and days of our life are the most difficult, because that's the level the devil realizes he's running out of time to drive us away from God. So for some people, they incur the greatest temptation right before they leave this world. So it's important for us, in the spirit of Christian charity, to pray for the individuals who are facing their judgment in a very, very short period of time, asking Almighty God for the graces for these people to be able to remain steadfast in their faith, to persevere, and not to let go of what they believe in, and not to let the enemy attack them successfully. Secondly, I received an email last night from a person who lives in New Jersey, and they are members of the congregation of Bishop John Hessen. Bishop Hessen was consecrated by Bishop Orvick and Bishop McKenna several years ago, and Bishop Hessen is very, very sick. And so I'm going to ask you to pray for Bishop John Hessen as well. He lives in New Jersey, right across the river from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So I may have to go out there to give him extra munction, because there are no other priests in that area that can do that for him. So I'll keep you posted on that as far as that is concerned. And of course, for all the other members of our spiritual family, as well as our biological families that we want to pray for, to help them receive the grace of Almighty God, to persevere in faith, or to renew their faith in Almighty God, as far as Catholicism is concerned. These are all corporal and spiritual works of mercy, and they are very, very pleasing in God's sight. So do them as generously as you can, and God will reward you for your generosity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the